The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judah. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry, said, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promises made to her by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit exalts in God my Saviour, because he has looked upon his lowly handmaid. Yes, from this day forward all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, and his mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear him. He has shown the power of his arm, he has routed the proud of heart, has pulled down princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry is filled with good things, the rich sent empty away. He has come to the help of Israel, his servant, mindful of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, of his mercy to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back home. The Gospel of the Lord. In the early days of the church, things were not at all well. The gospel writers were writing to a Christian people who were suffering great persecution. Terrible things were being done, enough to make people lose hope in life and to despair. And the evangelist wrote to assure the people that all will be well. I think over the last 6 months, the main news has been very little else other than the coronavirus pandemic. Unrest, uncertainty there is all around the world. And we're not free to come and go as we please, and we can't do as we like, and the masks are a reminder, sort of a lack of freedom. All pilgrimages that we know of have been cancelled, including that Cornish one, of course, to Walsingham. And in March, in the midst of the Lent course we were following, "Let it be done unto me according to your word," how Mary helps us to be filled with God, we had to stop meeting. So into all that, the church, ever moving on and moving, injects for us this glorious feast, the solemnity of great importance. Because in this day, raise our eyes above, to look to heaven. That's what John has his vision. He saw the heavens wide open. And that's no bad thing to do, to look away from all that's going on, all that's been going on, to raise our eyes and see there the sanctuary, as John says, in heaven, open in that first reading. He knows the truth about Jesus, who went through suffering and death and rose to life again. And that's why he's trying to say to us, all will be well. The dragon of evil will be destroyed, and the child, Mary's child, will be victorious. And I know I've spoken about the ark in previous years, and Mary as the Ark of the New Covenant, as she bears her son. And I thought, I won't do that this year. But in actual fact, you can't get away from it, because it's right there in the reading. The sanctuary of heaven opened. There was the Ark of the Covenant. And it's picked up, but you might not notice until I draw it out for you, in the Gospel as well. Because St. Luke is the one that tells us probably more about Mary than any of the other books in the New Testament. We learn a little bit, of course, in John, but Mary in Luke, and it's those early chapters of Luke, particularly chapters 1, 2, that are packed full of Mary and all the surrounding. And Luke's telling us, this is God at work. And God is at work in the people that we see in the story today, Elizabeth and in Mary, and of course in Zechariah, and all of them involved in all that. That visitation that Mary undertakes is a joyous encounter between two women, expectant mothers, but another recalls the ark, the link with this and the ark, because if we were, because tonight they give us a vigil mass with different readings, but I thought if we stick to the ones you've got in front of you, it's helpful. But and of course it still mentions the ark there. But the first reading, if we were having the vigil mass readings, is of David in the Old Testament, in Chronicles, and also it's reflected in 1 Samuel. Link with the ark. Link because it says Mary rose and went that 80-mile journey down from Nazareth, where she was, to near to Jerusalem, to where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived, the hill country of Judah. And the Old Testament says David arose and went into the same region centuries earlier to retrieve the ark. And upon arrival, Elizabeth reminds how David rejoiced and went into the ark. So when Mary arrives, Elizabeth is struck with the same awe and unworthiness before Mary as David was before the ark. Luke adds that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, recalling how the ark that David went to, just outside, near where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived, was stationed temporarily for 3 months. But Luke also brings out something else. Can you see all these connections you see that you probably haven't made from that simple story of the visitation? He draws out an expression of the exuberant cry that Elizabeth makes when Mary draws near with her child, and that child leapt. And the Greek word that they use there, it's almost like gave out a loud cry or exclaimed loudly. You might not make much of that, but it's hardly ever used in the scriptures. It's only found once, the Greek word, in the New Testament here with Elizabeth. And it's only found in the Greek version, the Septuagint, of the Greek Old Testament 5 times. And all of it to do with the ark. And what it refers to in the Old Testament is the melodic sounds made by the Levitical singers and the musicians when they were glorifying the Lord in song, and the harps and the timbrels and all the things as they were moving that ark to Jerusalem. And Zechariah was a priest, a Levite, of a particular tribe, but a Levite. Elizabeth of the tribe of Aaron, also a Levite. The Levitical priests that were carrying the ark in David's day, Mary and greeted there on this particular occasion. So Luke connects the cry of Elizabeth to the ark, but now the new ark, Mary. Now you think, does it matter? Does it really matter? Yes, it does. Because you see, the point is, it's all God at work. And when John sees that heaven open, and the ark that I've said before in other years, that when he saw that ark, to the Jewish people, that would have been a great shock. Because they hadn't seen it for centuries. And he says, and there it is. And where is it? And what is it? It's the woman, Our Lady Mary, clothed with the sun. That is, with God totally. Mary, who lives totally in God, surrounded and penetrated by God's light, surrounded by the 12 stars on her head, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the feet on the moon, the image of mortality and death. Picked up, of course, in our new Immaculate Conception window over there, and of course in the second joyful mystery, the Visitation. And all our windows are helpful, you see, because this is God at work. Other people may go on, not worrying whether God's at work, not even having a second. But this is, and what the gospel writers and the scriptures all get to see, this is what is happening. So on this day, Mary has left death behind her, and she's totally clothed in light and life, taken up body and soul into God's glory, and thus placed in glory after overcoming death. And she says to us, take heart, because it's love that wins in the end. The message I have in my life, Mary sent you, I'm the handmaid of God. My life has been a gift of myself to God and my neighbour, indeed the whole world, because she's given us the Redeemer. That's how she's the Ark of the Covenant, because the new covenant in his blood that we celebrate in a few moments. And Mary's role as that second Eve is noted in that second reading from St. Paul's great chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection, with the reference to Adam. Again, as you can't take Mary and Jesus away, Adam and Eve go together. A second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came to us through the second Eve, Mary. And Paul's telling us in that chapter that Christ will overcome every enemy, including the last enemy of all, death. And we all know that. And that's the great strength of our faith. And why I can stand as I did the other day, a 52-year-old man there in his coffin, but with the great certainty that the life we begin in baptism, eternal life, goes on. It is not ended. It goes on. Because the last enemy destroyed is death. And if we're in Christ, there with him. And that's what Paul's saying. Christ the first fruit. And then those who belong to him. And we belong to him because we've been baptized, we've been made members of Christ. But who belongs more to him than anyone? His mother, Mary, of course. Now raised body and soul to heaven because God has brought her life to glorious completion. Our Lady clothed with the Son of Justice, Christ the Lord. Her beauty consists in her immersion into Christ, because she bore him, and thus she defeats death, the moon, and enjoys the unheard of intimacy with the entire communion of saints, the 12 crowns in the crown, stars in her crown. And it prays where she has gone, we hope to follow, in the same that we do on the Ascension. Where he has gone, we hope to be. Where she has gone, we too hope to follow as her children. That's why she's Mother of the Church, Mother of us all, because Jesus gave her to us in John. That's why the Collect says, we may merit to be sharers of her glory. Mary, the highest honour of our race, as she gives her Son, who brings us all to the glory of the resurrection and eternal life.